powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross. Here we go now.
All right, the Mariners are another must-win game. You win this one, you're a half game up on Houston with four to play. Lose, and you're one and a half games behind Houston. The Astros finished with three against the Diamondbacks. Mariners have a four-game series against the Rangers that starts Thursday. That means the Mariners can pick up a half game with a win on Thursday because, obviously, Houston has the day off. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Jordan Schusterman. Oh, just kidding. We have Jordan ready with us right now. Jordan Schusterman joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hi, Jordan. How's it going?
Can't hear anything.
We'll see if we can get Jordan figured out
Jordan
here.
Jordan's chilling. He sound like he's a lazy boy kicking back.
He said the Mariners won. I'm not tripping. all right. Well, we'll get Jordan figured out here. I might try to pull him back on and see if he can hear us in a minute. Guys, we'll try it out, and you guys are going to deal with it. But I'm really excited to talk about, obviously, the Mariners in this game and what they're able to do. And I got to say, I loved having the win last night. I am a little bit nervous about Bryce Miller on the mound tonight. Let's try with Jordan again. Jordan, can you hear us?
Yes, I got you guys. Sorry.
All right. No worries, Jordan. We are happy to have you here. I do want to take a look back at the opening game against the Astros, but I'm actually going to work backwards. I'm going to start with last night's game. It was great to see George Kirby get out of kind of a tough first inning and then just look absolutely amazing. What'd you see from his day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of performance that honestly we've come to kind of expect from him. I think what was so impressive about what he did was we saw on Monday with the way that Luis Castillo threw, like, I was a little bit worried about the approach of throwing a lot of strikes to a team that can hit them like Houston. You know, we've seen George Kirby attack teams all season long and have success because he is willing to throw in the zone so much. We saw the difference between strikes and quality strikes last night with Kirby. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Bryce Miller, who also throws a ton of strikes. But he, of course, does not have quite the picture-perfect command that Kirby or even Castillo does. So I kind of agree with you a little bit of the nerves going into tonight. But Kirby's just been so impressive all season long. And it was cool to see him kind of step up in what was clearly a must-win game.
I need you to settle something for us, Jordan. The kid who threw the ball on the field.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Stacy says, it's parenting.
What was it, Stacy? Jordan. So I had an eyewitness account from a friend who was like sitting right next to him. And she said, Look, he clearly like didn't quite understand what he was doing. Like a ball bounced down from the mezzanine. It was a foul ball. He picked it up and he just threw it back. Right. Like it's like a home run ball. And I said, look, this is just being dumb is what it is. Like you're not reading the situation the right way. Bump.
I said, MLB has to do better connecting with young folks. He thought it was like a home run from the opposing team. He can throw it back on the diamond, and I say no.
Jordan.
He doesn't know the culture of baseball.
Jordan.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's an interesting. You've expanded this to like a bigger issue than what actually occurred.
Rob Manfred here.
Interesting. Wow. So, I mean, there's so many levels to this that are just so like unfathomable. I mean, to your point, like I don't. People assuming, I mean, it's just stuff like this. It was so quick to spin out of control online for people that were not there and did not have eyewitness accounts. People like, listen, I understand that we don't like Astros fans. That's fine. But people being like, whoa, there are a lot of Astros fans sitting over there. Like someone was trying to like, okay, let's relax. Let's relax here. Okay. This was a very, very weird, dumb thing to happen. Fact, right? Is it anything more than that? I don't think so. I think that even being like, send this kid to jail, like that's a little much, right? Like clearly there was some sort of very dramatic and embarrassing misunderstanding here. Does that say that the kids don't understand baseball? That might be a bit of a stretch.
He does. He doesn't know.
I think he just didn't read the moment.
He did both. He's dumb and he didn't know.
Someone texted in and said, my kid goes to school with that kid. He's a freshman in high school. I think he was just very much like 15 years old. This is maybe
Is that old enough to excuse it? It's like right on the line.
It's borderline. If he was 13, I'd say he's too young. But he's got 14, 15. That's not that much older. I think it's just doing a dumb kid thing. He looked very confused when they were escorting him out.
Yeah, the point I made on our podcast this morning was like, it is kind of strange that we hold the double standard of like, yeah, throw home run balls back. Like, that's fine. Like, you can do that. Like, if you Giancarlo Stanton was hit by a ball thrown from the Green Monster, like, at some point in the last few years, and we all kind of laughed about it. This was just like, that doesn't make this acceptable, obviously. I'm just saying that it's a funny example of like, no one is prepared for this kind of situation to happen. Or like, we've seen like literal babies like throw baseballs back onto the field. Now, not as dangerously, of course.
but we've seen that too. Yeah, kid had a cannon, let's be real. All right, so let's talk about the offense. I listened to I don't know if you guys have posted the one that you just recorded. I listened to your most recent baseball barbecue podcast. Yeah, it was great. I was also depressed along with you, but good stuff, fun, as always. And I really obviously enjoy your breakdown. I'm going to start with your breakdown of Castillo, where you said, look, I don't know that that's exactly the type of game that you should have been calling from Castillo against the Astros in particular. Can you tell us a bit more about that analysis?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of getting to what I was kind of mentioning earlier. I think that when you are facing a veteran lineup like that, it is their mantra of dominating the zone and being in the strike zone as much as possible, because that is going to lead to a lot of success. And when your stuff is that good, like that does work against a lot of teams. I think just in that spot, it just felt like they probably needed to be a little bit more careful. But again, though, was it that different than what Kirby was doing? I'm not sure. It's possible that they just had a good night swinging it. And the real issue is maybe what we'll talk about here too, is just the Mariners offense against Verlander,
right,
who, not that he has his own talents and skills and has dominated the Mariners many times, but the Verlander we saw in that game was not necessarily the overpowering version that we've seen. There were opportunities there and they just couldn't capitalize. So I still think that, like, I know that an outing like that makes people think, oh, Castillo, what the heck? This guy's supposed to show up in a game like this. It was definitely a disappointing outing, still giving them five innings, still giving them length. Like, there's still so much value in a guy that isn't going to get blasted off the mound in the second inning. He still got them through a lot of that, and the bullpen was able to be fresh last night. So there's still value in performances like that, but I understand people being a little disappointed.
I'm clearly just TMZ Sports right now. I'm just going for the drama right now, Jordan. Now I want to ask you about Dusty.
You were going Taylor Swift with Travis Kelce when you said that.
We're keeping it baseball.
Okay, sure.
All roads lead back to that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Dusty Baker and how he feels? He says he's tired of his guys getting hit, I believe. One of our listeners, or even Curtis, pointed out that Astros have hit our guys at a higher clip than Astros. So what do you think about that whole situation and how Dusty is handling it?
So the quote in particular, I think, is actually the part that I am finding interesting. He seems to be referencing the fact that, I guess, pitchers aren't hitting anymore, and so they can't get hit. I don't, like, that was a little strange. I mean, here's the real situation here, right? Dusty is a legend and Dusty is old school. It's not that complicated. No one likes seeing their guys getting hit, right? Does it make any sense? Were they throwing at Chaz McCormick intentionally? No, that makes no sense either. And so when I've learned, as I've watched 100 different versions of managers getting upset about their guys getting hit, including, which, by the way, we saw with the Mets last year with Buck Showalter getting on at, like, it's not like we haven't watched Ty France be hit 500 times over the last four seasons. Like, there's versions of this on every team. I honestly don't make much more of it, because I've seen essentially every manager have the same reaction. And so if fan bases want to take this as some sort of spice, and if people think that Fromber is going to go out there throwing at people intentionally at this point in the season, that is also ridiculous and just an absurd assumption whatsoever when you consider the stakes for both of these teams at this point in the season. Like, MLB has cracked down on throwing intentionally. So that is not something that either team wants to mess with when the stakes are this high. So I think it's sorry, it's a boring answer, but like to me, I've just seen so many managers have the same reaction. And yeah, of course, you don't like to see your guys get hit. But sorry, guys. Yeah. Andres Munoz sometimes comes inside and doesn't have the best control. Like that happens.
It's a fair answer, I think. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Mariners' offense, which is probably a question I could have asked 40 million times this season. They are at some times really, really fun and hitting home runs and driving runners in, and at other times they are maddeningly inconsistent and quiet. And unfortunately, against the Rangers and in Game One against the Astros, we saw the offense get a little bit quiet. When you look at, you know, kind of what's been working and what hasn't, are you finding, you know, now that we're at season's end, any patterns, or are you just kind of blaming, like, that's baseball, it's streakiness, they were never the best offense in this division?
So I think one of the interesting things coming into the season, when you looked at the lineup that they had built, there was clearly talent there, and we've seen versions of that, as we mentioned. But a lot of it also did not scream the dominate the zone, control the zone thing that they preach so much on both sides of the ball organizationally. But when you're running out a lineup that likes to swing, right? Once you move past J.P. Crawford, who's always going to give you a quality at bat, when you're talking about Julio, you're talking about Cal, you're talking about Gino, and you're talking about Teoscar, when all those guys are rolling, you know, they're all very talented. But when they're not, and when they're antsy, and when they're getting aggressive, and when they're swinging at bat, it's not pretty. They're giving you the kinds of at-bats that are not fun to watch. Mm. And now, fortunately, Suarez and Teoscar in particular have kind of alternated being hot and cold. So there's always one of them that's been kind of swinging it well. But it's just the kind of style that it's kind of one note, which unfortunately has resulted in some very ugly offensive performances and you know, not as many working quality at bats. Some of the guys at the bottom of the lineup, we've seen almost do that even more. Guys like Rojas, I would say, has actually had some really impressive at bats. And of course, Crawford always gives you that. And that's why he's so valuable in that leadoff spot. But they're kind of, I don't really see that changing. I mean, that's just kind of the offense that they've built. Again, we've seen it work at times, be one of the best offenses in baseball for a 6-week stretch. I still think it's good enough to get them into the postseason here. Is it definitely good enough? We'll see, right? Because as you mentioned, we're going on a day-to-day basis at this point. You don't know what you're going to get. When you talk about the pitchers that they're facing, I mean, Fromber could absolutely go out and you know, give them, especially a guy that gets a lot of ground ball outs, they could just be swinging early and often. And if those hits aren't falling, you know, that game can move pretty quickly on you.
How important was it for Ty France to hit that bomb last night?
Yeah, that's another guy that, I mean, unfortunately, because of course he's been one of my favorite Mariner stories over the course of this rebuild, of course, being acquired in the trade, blossoms into this all-star. That's another guy that is up there looking to swing. And so when the swings are not producing anything, he doesn't have a whole lot to fall back on. So to see a really powerful, you know, at bat like that, like that's the thing. Even as he sort of started to find it, he's still kind of dumping balls in. He has not been driving the ball with authority at all this season. And so absolutely, it wasn't just that he hit a home run. It's what that home run looked like. It was, I mean, he crushed that thing. So I have to imagine that's a good thing. He's really the one guy in this lineup that we have not seen go on a real stretch this year. And I mean, if it happens now, that would be a heck of a time.
He is Jordan Schusterman of Fox Sports and Sirius XM, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We have to let Jordan go, but you guys can hear more from Jordan and Jake on the Baseball Barbie cast from Sirius XM. Go download it, subscribe, listen wherever you get your podcasts. It's one of my absolute favorites and a must listen. I like throwing it on in the background just to catch up with baseball for that day, for that week. Really, really fun listen. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you both. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you again to Jordan Schusterman joining us on your only home for the Mariners playoff chase, Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Let's get to Four Down territory.
This is Four Down territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, we're 3 weeks into the NFL season. You know what? It's going to be like October before we know it, and then it's going to be November before we know it. And I will tell
Stop
you guys,
it.
You know what I said? You know what I said yesterday? I was filling in my planner. You already know.
What?
I said, I can't believe it's already October.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, we're 3 weeks in, a couple days away from October. Teams will have to make adjustments soon. what quarterbacks do you feel are in danger of losing their jobs?
She's asking me that question because we've done this before, and there's one quarterback that she just she
you
doesn't
guys,
believe.
I can't. I don't.
She
I
doesn't
don't.
Believe.
I simply do not.
And I'll let you know. I'll let you know who they are, though. I'll save that one for last.
Okay.
First one is Sam Howell. We talked about this. I was excited for Eric Bieniemy. You got the offense going, averaging 27 points per game. The Chiefs only 18 through 3 weeks, and then another week goes by, and you see the struggles of Sam Howell. Sacked 17 times. He's on track to be sacked over 100 times this year. That is no good. You got Brissett waiting in the wings to take over. All right, then you have my best friend, Zach Wilson. We're hearing Salah talk to the team and say, this is our guy. We got to rally behind him. He's going to lose the team if he keeps this up with Zach Wilson. Give him one more start. One more.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, then you got to see Boyle. You got to see Trevor Siemian. You got to see somebody else in that green. Next one, we got Ryan Tannehill. He doesn't look inspired at all to play baseball. Of course not, because he's a football player. Doesn't look inspired at all to play football. I'm looking at him. There's no fire. He doesn't. It just there's. He's not doing it for me.
Yeah.
And then you look at the numbers, and then it makes sense. We got Levis and Willis waiting in the wings.
He's getting paid, by the way.
Paid. Like 30 plus,
he's
right?
He's one of the highest paid. He is one. No, sorry, not like one of the 40. Highest paid. He's one of the highest cap hits.
It's like what? It's like 40-something.
Yeah.
And now this one. Justin Fields.
No, absolutely not.
If by week 14, 15, my man hasn't gotten better, he's still talking to the press about coaches and what they should be letting him do and not do, I see it going down because at some point you're like, look, man, we're going to keep you healthy because we can't protect you. So you are a beautiful trade bait during the offseason so somebody can come and get you. So you know what? Who's waiting in the wings there? Got Nathan Peterman, John Gruden's boy.
It's not
Nathan Peterman.
If you
he's going to play. He's going to play this year. And when he does play this year, Stacey, I need 25 push-ups.
Fine.
25.
25 push-ups, 25 donuts.
You can't stop, though. You have to keep going.
Can I?
You can pause at the top and rest.
Okay, great. I do not think that's happening.
Not only do
I not think it's happening, it's Nathan Peterman. There's no way it's happening unless it's in a game and Justin gets hurt and they just want to be safe. Like, there is not going to be a game in which it's going to be, we benched you because you're not performing.
Yeah, it's going to happen late in the season.
No.
25 of them things. Get
Simply
ready.
Simply not true.
Get ready.
Great. I have fantastic arm strength. I'm ready for it. Second down. What wide receiver do you think will have a big year now due to an unfortunate injury to someone else?
Man, I was already excited about this guy because I saw what he did at TCU. Quentin Johnston now has the opportunity to take over for Mike Williams. Unfortunate. Man, you hate to see guys go down, especially receivers. You know I have a soft spot for those dudes. But it's now his time to shine. And there's one thing we know about the Los Angeles Chargers is that they're going to throw that ball all across the yard, right? They have the number two offense in the league, number three passing offense in the league, and he's going to fit right in. Before he got hurt, Mike Williams had 26 targets, 19 receptions, and has had two seasons over 1,000 yards. I look at this as an opportunity. You got Justin Herbert over there who you know is going to throw the football. You have Austin Eckler might be getting healthy this week. We shall see. That's going to help. You also have Keenan Allen as well. I'm looking at Quentin Johnston. This is his time to shine. He's a big receiver. I believe in him. He's going to go up and get it. This week they play the Raiders without Jimmy Garoppolo possibly. So I feel the Chargers back on track. Go get it. Johnston, do your thing.
Third down. What will you be looking for on the sidelines when the Hawks take on the Giants for Monday Night Football?
I'm looking at body language. There's a clip out with Geno talking
like
to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like,
ooh. Body language.
Exactly.
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Exactly. I got you. Okay. I got you. I'm going to be looking for what she said. Body language. All right. And specifically, JSN. Because he's not having the start to the season that I know that he wished he would have and that the fans wish he would have. But I got to remind people, he's third on the team when it comes to targets. Seems about right to me. Now, he's not making the plays that he wants to make. There's a screen that he had a couple yards in, a couple catches here and there, but he's not being explosive. And when you see undrafted free agents like Jay Bobo go up and get a touchdown before you do, you got to feel some type of way. If you don't, you're not a competitor. I'm not saying you're sitting there hating on the man. Like, man, forget Jake. I can't even kick with him no more. I'm just saying you're looking at Jake Bobo and being like, nah, that should be me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do more to get on the field. Now, what if you don't get more targets? What if you don't get the explosive that you want? How are you going to respond? So I'm looking at JSN. This is an unfamiliar territory for him. He's been the man on every team he's been on since he was a little kid. It's the first time he's not getting the targets. He thought he was responsible for an interception. You can go into a dark place as an athlete if you don't keep things in perspective. I told the story the first time around. There was a time with the Seahawks where I knew if I'm in the game, they're going to run the football. I'm like, oh, I'm in the game. I'm in the slide. Bobby Ingram's out. They're running the ball. So mentally, I have to get into a place where I'm like, all right, if this is my role, this is my role. I'm going to block my you-know-what off and get it done. Fortunately for him, they're not just going to put him in the block. They're going to put him in to make some plays. So when is his time to make a play, he has to do it. If he doesn't get the opportunities, be a good teammate on the sideline. Hype your boys up.
Fourth down. Why? Would the Seahawks be looking so closely at wide receiver Tavon Austin?
Hey, someone has said Peterman got cut last week.
Yeah, I didn't read that on air because I was going to wait until the break.
Are you going to wait? Hey, yeah. You see how I do? I hold myself accountable, okay?
Yeah,
I don't wait for you to embarrass me in front of my friends.
I would never embarrass you in front of your friends.
Yeah, you would.
Would never.
Okay, so why are they looking at Tavon Austin? It has to be the return game. Right? Because I'm looking at the receivers for the Seahawks, and I'm like, all right, I get that D. Eskris isn't there anymore. You still got Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jake Bobo is still there. You got Cody Thompson as well. Dariq Young's on the IR. Maybe they pull him up to fill a void, but where can he contribute right now if he were to get on the team? It has to be in the return game. But DJ Dallas had some good returns last week. One real good return, but made a guy miss, got north-south. He's looking more comfortable back there. So I'm looking at Tavon Austin, man, the old head, 32 years old in the league. What does he bring to the team? Experience and return ability. But as far as getting major playing time, I think that they have enough already.
All right, still to come, what I need to know at 45 after, and I could use your guys' questions. So get those texts in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Again, to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Any question you have, send those now. I'm going to get to those at 45 after for both Bump and I. Before we get to it, though, the Seahawks have a problem, and I think they're going to get an answer on Monday. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
The 253 says, go Cougs! My girlfriend's daughter cheers at Wazoo. I'm there for the home games. I yelled at Bumpus as he walked back down to the field. He gave me a what's up.
Nice.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I mean,
you're lying.
People say what's up. And I always say what's
up. I'm famous.
No one said that.
I'm calling an audible.
You got like 20,000 followers.
Yeah, I'm incredibly famous. That's why. I'm calling an audible. We were going to talk about Jamal Adams, but we have one extra day to talk about Jamal Adams. So I'm going to push this conversation back 24 hours. We're going to talk about it plenty during the huddle tomorrow. We're going to talk about it ahead of the huddle tomorrow. What I'm going to do instead is talk about something we only have a few more hours to talk about. Tonight's Mariners game. It is the biggest Mariners game of the year. So what do we want to see from it? Outside of a win, of course. You can text into this conversation, 866-979-3776. Bump, what do you want to see in this game?
I want to see the young Texan look just as cool after three innings as he does when he walks to the mound for the first time.
Yeah.
Because he's got that cool Texas swag. Nothing's really bothering him. But I want to see it and believe it because he's on the mound doing what we've seen him do before, which is dominating. Now, he had a start, in Oakland? I think it was his first start. And he looked great. And we're like, oh, he's got to prove it against a better team. I forgot who he played next, but he looked great. So I just want to – I want him to put on for the rookies because Wu concerned us a little bit, but you expect – games like that because he's a rookie. So I just want him to keep his cool and not look like a rook out there.
To put on, but not for his city.
Not for his city, for our city.
Exactly.
Nothing worse than when you're playing, now put on for my city and get shelled.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't. I in fact, cannot put on for my city. Curtis, what do you want to see?
I want to see this game managed like it's a playoff game because that's what it is. Like, you have to win this game in order to keep your playoff hopes alive. You're a half game behind Houston right now. You fall to a game and a half back with four to play. That's going to be a really tough hill to climb. So you have to have the urgency of what this moment is all about. And it's a playoff game. If you win tonight, you have a half game lead on Houston and then can pick up another half game on them on Thursday. You control your own destiny. You've got to be able to take advantage of this opportunity, because other than that, if you lose tonight, you just have to hope and pray that the Diamondbacks play the series of their life against Houston to finish off the regular season. And then also you have to pretty much sweep the Rangers if you want to have a shot at going to the postseason.
The 360 says, I'd like to see momentum so we can sweep the Rangers this weekend. Emma in Seattle says, I want to see all foul balls thrown back. I had to sneeze. That's a good one from Emma. 360 kept it simple. I want to see them beat the cheating Astros. Christian the 206, I want to see my boy Julio really do some special September, October MVP type stuff and make us unstoppable to take over his rightful spot on the throne as the best player in the league, period. I want to see a lesson learned put into action. So the first game against the Rangers was really frustrating for a lot of reasons. But one of them was that the postgame press conference Scott Service had, he was like, we had a game plan. We went in with a game plan. He didn't say this, but the game plan probably would have worked. It was a two-run game. Mm. And we went away from it. And the reason they went away from it is because hitters were getting a little too aggressive. And I think that that is a very normal human reaction, to go out there and think, okay, man, I'm sitting here. We got one on. It's a two-run game. I know I got the power to hit this pitch. The pitch looks right. I'm going to swing way before I need to. I'm going to swing at a first pitch. I'm going to swing at a bad pitch. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like they were too aggressive. They weren't patient. That was a lesson that you learned. And I know this is a different team, but that was a lesson that you learned a couple days ago. Put it in action here. Like, I think that this team not only plays better, you know, when they have some momentum going and get some juice, but they also play better when they do stick with their plan and swing at the right pitches. And that sounds like such a stupid thing to say. Every team does. But like, you can see the fall off when they're way too aggressive and when they put way too much on their shoulders. And so I want to see that plan kind of actually in action tonight.
It's easier to follow that plan when you feel like you're taken care of on the mound. And I think that, and now this team has gotten a habit of doing that regardless, right? Sometimes they go out there, they're swinging a pitch. We're like, what are they doing? Julio at some point will swing at anything as long as it was the first pitch. He was going to swing at it, right? Yeah. Then he figures some things out, get back to your approach. But I feel like if what I asked and what you asked, right, what I want is for Miller to be cool, be calm, and get her done, I think that'll help what you're asking. Because now they feel like, we're not down 3 or 4 runs in the third or fourth inning, and I don't have to play hero ball. I can go out there and still be patient. So to be patient, you're going to need to feel like you're taking care of defensively and on the mound. And I think it's possible. You know, I didn't feel good about the game last night. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Didn't feel good about it. The way I live my life, I prepare for the worst, hope for the best. That's just how it is. So I'm going to do the same tonight. I'm not going to change the way I think. I'm going to prepare for the worst, hope for the best. But if Miller comes out and he looks nice, I think that they'll be able to take that approach you're looking for.
Big John and Ballard, I want to see both teams having fun. Who am I kidding? I want to see Seattle absolutely destroy Houston. Curtis, you also looked at the end of the lineup with something you wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be super thrilled if I see like Jose Caballero, Dylan Moore,
Haggerty
7, 8, 9 tonight. Like, that just would not do it for me. Get guys like Kelnick in the lineup, even though it's against a lefty. Heck, even get Mike Ford in the lineup, even though it's against the lefty. Ford gives you an opportunity every time he's up to hit a home run. Like, that's a valuable thing to have this time of year, especially just at any part of your lineup. So I think it would be very valuable to have Ford in the lineup at some point tonight, even though him and Kelnick are both lefties going up against Framber Valdez, who's a lefty. You kind of have to throw everything out the window in terms of righty-lefty matchups. Put your best nine out there and see where the chips fall.
The 360, I want to see better hitting with runners in scoring position. Yes. And again, I don't think I'm asking this team to suddenly be something they're not. Whatever they've struggled with all year, I kind of expect them to still struggle with it. But one thing they haven't struggled with consistently is getting home runs. I'd love to see a big moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a big moment, and I'd love to see an error-free game.
Yeah, I'd love to see runners at the corner and Julio, JP, somebody to shoot one through the gap to score. We got a man on third who stretched that thing out to a triple. Like, you're right, we haven't seen those type of moments lately. And you know what? Ty France is going to give it to us. He saw that ball go out the yard.
Yeah.
He's in the zone. He's feeling good. Ty France will give us that moment today.
Speaking of the bottom of the lineup, Brad in Seattle says, is it just me or is Josh Rojas turning into a dude? He seemed like he fits with this team really well overall. I just like the guy. He's been coming through. Because my expectations weren't especially high for Josh Rojas, I've been okay with him. Like, I don't look at him as like you're ruining things. But Curtis, when you mentioned wanting to see batter 7 through 9 be able to help you, I thought you had mentioned Rojas and Canzon being out there. Those two were the only two with hits a couple days ago.
Yes, they were. I think Rojas is actually their best option right now at second base. I think he's the guy that you want out there. I get that he's a lefty. But, man, like, he gives you such a better opportunity right now than I think Haggerty does, than I think of other guys on the roster. It's just, you got to have your best guys out there. And this game means so much to any sort of playoff hope that you have. Because if you don't win tonight, it kind of all goes up in smoke, or at least for the most part. Yeah. It's going to be really, really tough.
It's a must win. It is the biggest game of the year.
You nervous?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I'm very nervous. The 206, love your thought on that bump, but Ty France will never have a triple moving forward in his career. You know what I need to see?
I responded. You know what I need to
see? A center fielder fall 100. Down running for the ball.
It can happen.
Hey, it's got to be one of those ones that hit the corner and bounces off of that wall and just hangs out there for a while.
It's a bird swoops down, picks it up, and drops it.
Tripping over themselves to get to the wall.
All right, you guys. We are wrapping things up with what I need to know, so get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know. If you could have an all-expenses-paid trip for 3 days to Vegas for the Super Bowl, or for 2 weeks to the Bahamas, which do you choose?
Super Bowl all day.
Really?
Vegas? I can golf, I can gamble, I can watch football. My wife can go to the spa. No kids. They staying at home.
Okay, so I'm like 51-49 Super Bowl. The difference being the Super Bowl, while it is the biggest game of the year, is probably not the most fun to attend game because it's full of celebrities and salespeople.
You go
and
there just
clients.
To get lit.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's not like a game you go to where the crowd is losing their mind at every home team play because it's a neutral site that's full of like business people.
What if the Seahawks
people.
Are there, though? You'll go to
that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If the Seahawks were there, it would be 100%, 0% would be the difference.
A two-week vacation in one place would probably get kind of boring after a while, wouldn't
all
it?
Expenses paid.
That's true.
All expenses paid. You can get a deep tissue massage, go to a buffet, and go scuba diving every single day.
Sports.
You could go swimming with a dolphin, probably.
I ain't getting no damn water with no animals.
Dolphins are probably friendly.
Probably.
Well, I mean, I've heard bad things.
Y'all got that twitch.
They do have that. Watch out. What I need to know. With how much the UW and Wazoo football teams are balling out right now, how memorable would this Apple Cup be, as it will be the last of both teams in the same conference?
Yeah, it'll be great. I hope both teams are, I mean, in a perfect world, they'll both be undefeated, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. Someone's going to take an L here. It'd be great, man. It'd be sad. I might shed a tear. Where is it at this year? It's in Seattle, so it's close. All right. I'll be there.
What I need to know is, getting the third wildcard spot actually advantageous for the Mariners to face the Twins rather than getting the second seed against Tampa? The Mariners are only two back from the second wildcard spot, but I don't think we'd want to face Tampa. Toronto could fall there, with their remaining schedule.
Like, we're in any position to want anything right. but just a chance.
Y'all, listen.
At winning a trophy.
Who am I?
We just want
to
get in.
Who am I to demand the second wild card spot?
You know what? Actually, guys, we'll pass.
Yeah.
We don't want that wild card spot.
I think it would be better to... I totally see what you're saying, listener, but right now I'm like, can you win tonight?
Please.
Can you win so you could still be... No, you'd be 1.5 up. Just win tonight. How about that? How about just get there? And then we'll look at that one.
Because the road from the third wild card spot would be you face the Twins
yeah.
or the AL Central winner.
Yes.
And then if you win that, then you play the Orioles because they would have the best record in the American League. They are tough. But I feel like the Twins and Orioles is a little better than having to face like the Rays and Rangers.
Yes. Yes. What I need to know... who brings the worst from home snacks and lunches to your station?
I feel like I bring the most.
You bring the best ones because Jen's a
you
Jen
also
makes
bring
really
in that,
good food.
Like portable crock pot
yeah.
thing too.
Jen sets you up every day. Where
sets
like
me up for success.
You're the kid that comes in with like the fancy deep dish pizza Lunchables,
mm-hmm.
and like everyone yeah. wants to trade with you.
And that's it's a big 180 because I was the kid yeah. who showed up with peanut butter and jelly. And
yeah, I'm free lunch kid.
Yeah.
I come in with a protein bar.
In your monk fruit cereal.
It's monk. I was going to say, I thought
your,
you were going to say bean curd.
Bean curd cereal.
It's monk fruit cereal. It's keto cereal. What I need to know, this one's kind of heavy, so I understand if you don't read it on here. Well, I am. This one is for Bump. How old were you when you realized your pro athlete athleticism was leaving you, and how did you adjust to this new phase in your life? Just got a bad bill of health from a doctor, and I'm just trying to cope with it.
Pro athletic ability, I was like maybe 27. When I felt knees and backs and all that, 30 is when I was like, yeah, you can't be doing none of that no more. And what do? You just adjust your workouts, adjust your expectations. Like, I don't expect to be able to sprint at the speed that I used to. I don't lift the weights that I used to. You just listen to your body. And as long as you're able to move around and be functional with the kids or the family, that's a win.
That's a good way to put it. What I need to know, where does the Pac-12/Pac-2 rank amongst college conferences?
Second right now. We used to be number one, but then we got two teams knocked out of the top 25. So now there's six. SEC has seven. But we have the most in the top 10, four teams in the top 10 more than anybody.
What I need to know with this trade, that being Dame to Milwaukee, does it make the Bucks the favorite to the finals coming out of the East?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who else?
I
mean, Boston is still in the mix. You got to respect what they do there.
Sixers, you don't know what they're going to do with James Harden.
Right. Miami is decent, but Milwaukee, they have the best duo in that conference. Easy.
What I need to know, this person said, by the way, I swam with dolphins in Hawaii. It was the coolest thing. They're nice as can be as long as you don't throw a ball at them from the stands. That's important to know. What I need to know is Taylor Swift... now maybe dating Travis Kelce. Too big to do a Super Bowl halftime show.
No, I think they do those for free. They do it for free.
They don't get payment from the NFL.
No, they're doing it for free. If Beyonce did, I mean, she's bigger than Beyonce at this point, honestly.
I know, which is weird because Beyonce's more talented than
Taylor
Swift.
No, I don't think she's past it. I think she still do it. I think she enjoys entertaining her fans.
Yeah,
I
do
she too. Knows how important she is to her fans, so I think she do it.
I'll give her a lot of credit for that, as she is a really responsible person in terms of knowing the age range of her fans too and really trying to be careful about that. I respect her for that.
Well, and how many people attending the Super Bowl are going to be Taylor Swift fans? Probably not a ton.
How many people attending the Super Bowl are going to be Usher fans? Like, it's oh cool, like I'm fine with it.
I feel the like Super Taylor Bowl is- Swift would choose to perform at a venue where it's going to be most of her fans.
I think that more people would watch a Taylor Swift halftime show than an Usher halftime show.
That's
probably.
Like, that's just... honestly, the last great halftime show was the Rams Super Bowl in L.A.
Doug,
it was good. Everyone, 50.
Yeah.
That was a good halftime show. And that was kind of a throwback, too. Like, a throwback works when you do it right. I mean, Usher could totally work. He had some bangers.
He got to get some cameos up there.
He
with
did.
Him.
That's the thing. You got to make sure you get people up there.
Lil Jon lives in Vegas.
I'm just saying.
There's no, like, you know that's going to happen.
What I need to know. Let's see. Someone said, who's Usher? I'd rather see Usher than Taylor Swift. I'm just, we cannot comprehend Taylor Swift's fame right now. There's this thing, this joke that's going around on TikTok. Have you guys seen this? Of women who are telling their husbands, like, oh, have you heard of this guy, Travis Kelce?
My wife did that to me yesterday.
Did she film you?
I think she did. And she did the Roman Empire one. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that one.
She goes,
that
how
one?
Often do you think about the Roman Empire? I go, I don't know.
Like, oh, because it's about how guys think
maybe
about
maybe or something. Yeah. She goes, what?
Once
she couldn't
a
believe
month.
It.
Yeah. You think about them once a month?
I think about dynasties and empires and, you know.
What?
Yeah, maybe once a month.
Once a month? I don't remember the last time I thought about the Roman Empire.
That's the exact reaction that she had.
Look, the reason I love the Taylor Swift ones is because there are so many football fans. There are sports fans. All of us love sports. We live and breathe sports. We sometimes forget that sports are like a hobby. They're niche.
No, it's not. It's life.
It is a lifestyle, but like we cannot comprehend how famous other celebrities are.
Nope.
She is bigger than Travis Kelce, y'all.
She ain't
I cannot
than
stress
Messi.
This enough.
She ain't bigger than Messi. She ain't bigger than Cristiano.
No,
Ronaldo.
But she's like celebrity-wise.
I'm just trying to keep her humble.
Somewhere
I'm
on
just
that.
Trying to keep her humble.
This show today had probably the biggest celebrity that this
oh, for
station
sure.
has seen in a long time.
Yeah, easily. And he smelled so great.
It's the biggest show of all time.
The biggest show.
It's a really big show today.
All right, you guys. If you missed that interview, we opened the show with it, by the way. Thanks again to Paul White for joining us earlier. That was great. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Matt Nelson, Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.